Father, again we thank you. We are here today in your presence, drawn by your Spirit to draw from you and to listen from you. And Father, help each one of us to receive, embrace, take the life that is in your word. Because if we do not take of the life that is in your word, then it profits nothing. And I pray your help and grant us that we may do this for your glory now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Well, today our title we're calling is Brethren, Pray for Us. Brethren, Pray for Us. Hallelujah. And we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25. And it simply says here in this epistle where the Apostle Paul is closing, he's giving blessings and admonitions here, and he simply says here, Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Now, if the bride is to make herself ready, which the Word of God says she will in the last days, and the church is to rise up again and be that overcoming church, then she must be a house of prayer. Prayer, intercession. Prayer in the understanding and prayer in the spirit. Why is this so important? Because we are not up against flesh and blood. We're up against powers and principalities. And that is why God's house is a house of prayer. And that we pray one for another. We pray for the world. We pray for our government. We pray for our family, our loved ones. Those things around us, our neighbour, those things that will be upon our heart or that concern us, we intercede and pray. But sadly, prayer lacks in the house of God. Much of prayer, sadly, are just prayer lists. But that is not really prayer. That is not prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit. And we have to learn as believers that we do not know how to pray unless we're taught, unless it's revealed, unless the Holy Spirit quickens us in prayer. This is why the apostles asked the Lord for prayer, to teach us to pray, and we know the Lord's Prayer. And so in the Lord's Prayer we take principles from that. But here the apostle, he says, brethren, pray for us. Paul was not ashamed to ask for prayer. Prayer that he may have utterance, that the doors may be opened. He encouraged the early church to be in prayer, in much prayer. I'm interested that when the Christians, the early church at Pentecost, were there in the upper room, they were there up in the room there, together praying, waiting upon God. And they were in the right spirit, heart and attitude, and in unity and oneness, of which the Holy Spirit could fall upon them, baptizing them in the Spirit, and hence the outward appearance and manifestation of the church was born. And anything to be achieved, anything to be changed in the church will come about when God's people come together in prayer. And this is very important. And I'm bringing this because I believe that the Lord wants in this church some Sundays now where we're not going to have the preaching of the word, but we are coming for prayer. Because this is where the church can meet together. We know that you can pray any time. It doesn't have to be Sunday. But Sunday happens to be the most practical time for us, because most of us don't work. Then we can get together and we're here and we can pray. Because this is the next event, and I can only speak this for this church. But if we want to see breakthroughs, if we want to see lives changed, if we want to see God adding to the church, if we want to see people healed, delivered, raised up, it's going to come about as we are a people who take prayer seriously. Prayer changes things. And we are at a crossroads, in a sense, in this church. And God is now saying, what do you want next? What do you want me to do? What are you wanting in your own life? What do you want for this church? What do you want to see in these last days? And I'm sure of us, all of us, have in our hearts things that we desire to see of God. We all of us are desperate for change, deliverance, moving on. But none of this is ever going to happen unless we also get into prayer and intercession. You see, the Word of God teaches us and guides us. Precisely what it's doing today. But the Word of God is teaching us and exhorting us and challenging us always to move on. To move on to the next plateau. And so, as he's teaching us this morning, he's showing us something. And he's saying, now I want prayer from you as a church. Not just a few praying each week, but as a church. Because as a church, we have to move and change. It is wrong for just the few who are moving on. And God won't have that. God is into unity and oneness. And we all move. When God prepared the ark, and finally he called those souls in, he called many to go into the ark, but most refused. But all those souls that were called went into the ark. Not one of them was left out. That is the point. And we heard in prophecy today how God is loving and gentle, and how he molds us, and how delicately, lovingly he does it. But that moulding and changing is for everyone. It's not just for a certain few. And for this to be achieved and done, we have to pray one for another. We have to take on the burdens, how God feels about his church. How God feels about rebellion, about sin. how God feels about those who are physically suffering. We have some in this church, brothers and sisters, who are physically in distress. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you pick that up in the Spirit. If you love Christ. And if you love Christ, you love His body, and we are members of His body. And when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is going through a trial, we go through a trial. We pick it up. And the reason we pick it up is not so that we can go and gossip and talk about it. It's so that we pray, we intercede and supplicate. That's what it's about. And that is why the Apostle Paul said here, brethren, pray for us. Paul was never too proud to ask for prayer. Yet sometimes we still find ourselves, oh no, I can't ask for prayer there. No, I'm an overcomer. I'm in faith. You don't do that sort of thing. Well, the Apostle Paul was humble enough to ask it. And he did. Let's turn also to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Here again, this church, this epistle written to Colossae, the church there. Here, there's a character by the name of Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. Greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That was what he was burdened for. That was what he was praying. And what does it say who he is? Nobody special in that sense. Just somebody like you, like me. Not the Apostle Paul. Not somebody preaching behind a pulpit. Yet look what God is doing through this man, laboring fervently for you in prayers. He's obviously an intercessor. Intercessory prayer is a very powerful ministry in the house of God. And it's a ministry that many of us should seek God about. God, we know, does give the gifts, but it's a wonderful gift. That is where you see things happen. And so he's an intercessor. He's laboring in this. And what is his intercession? What is his burden? That you may stand perfect, complete in the will of God. And that is why we want to get together in prayer, in intercession, so that we can stand complete and in true unity and oneness, that we can endure and that we can make it through to the end. That is why it is so important we pray one for another. I often am praying for you that you will not be tempted, that you will stand fast, that God will keep you in the faith, keep you free from the evil one, from sickness, disease, temptations, those things that are around us all the time trying to attack. Yes, you say to me, oh, but we're in faith, we have the promises of God. Indeed we do. But most of the promises of God are also to be backed by prayer. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Indeed it does. And so for our faith to be quickened, for our faith to stand, we pray one for another. The Lord himself prayed for the disciples on the night of betrayal, that their faith would fail not. And God answered that for prayer. And thank God he did pray that prayer. As the Lord would have had no one when he rose from the dead. No apostles. Nobody to continue proclaiming the good message. Many times scripture shows that our Lord prayed, interceded right through the night. Sometimes in fastings and so forth. Now I'm not telling you next week what you must do, but the fact that the Lord's showing us to come together next Sunday for prayer good opportunity for those who want to fast as the Lord leads. We don't make a ritual of it. We're not religious, because even fasting has to be led by the Spirit. Many do it for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives. They do it for a religious way. You have in all things to be led by the Spirit, but you've got to be willing. He's not going to suddenly take over your will. You have to come before God and say, Lord, I want to fast for you. I'm ready, I'm open, I'm waiting. And I know you will lead and guide me. That's what God wants to hear, and then he'll do it. But we pray lip service so often to these things. Oh, well, I'll fast when the Lord leads. You've no intentions of fasting. And that can apply for everything in this walk. And I'm saying, if it's not in your heart or you haven't got the right attitude, then please don't fast. Let God work. Because we don't want any hindrances in our prayers and intercessions. That is the point. But you have to keep with prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to discipline you with this. Because prayer is probably not an easy thing. I'm not going to say for one moment that to get in prayer or to have prayer meetings is a doddle. It isn't. It is a discipline. It is staying with it. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And so as we respond and move in prayer and in intercession, whether we've been praying in the Spirit or in the understanding, sometimes when you're praying in the Spirit, it is very difficult to keep your mind centered on what you're praying for. Because at that point, your spirit is praying and interceding, and it's bypassing the mind. But we can find our mind is thinking about our next dinner that we're going to eat. A whole number of things. I tell you, I'm as guilty. I've sometimes been in a prayer meeting, praying in the Spirit, and found myself, my mind planning and scheming things for next week. And they're saying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. It's so easy. But thank God the Spirit is interceding and praying at that point. That's the whole purpose. What is important is that the whole man enters into prayer and intercession. That is the point. But we have to start somewhere. Because brothers and sisters, this is where we're going to see change. This is where we're going to see breakthroughs. Deliverances are needed. We're all being buffeted. The enemy's having a field day. He is trying to destroy this assembly. And we're picking up the warning signs. You see? And I thank God for this. I truly do. This is a sign he loves us. His hand is upon us. And I pray that this will speak to other Christians or other churches that may be going through similar things. We have got to accept that God's house is a house of prayer. That is first and foremost. You go as far as you are prepared to pray. A preacher will go as far in his ministry and preaching as you are prepared to get behind that ministry. I can only do what I can do if you get behind this and pray and intercede, including our brother Bob as well, and any others who God will raise up in this assembly. That is as far as we'll go. So sometimes Christians find themselves frustrated with the word, or it doesn't seem as though my pastor or minister is sort of moving on or whatever it is. Well, the first thing that needs to be raised is, what is the prayer life in the church? Are you getting behind that brother in real prayer and intercession? That's a very valid question. Many, many Christians are going around criticizing ministry, and I know there are some who are so off. They really are. But there are others who go around and criticize, and yet are they willing to get on their knees and pay the price for that person they're criticizing or that minister, that God will lead them out of that temptation or that trial or that deception, or God will open their mind to see a bigger picture of God. There's many, many ways that we can pray and intercede. It's so easy to write people off, and Christians are masters at doing that. We are the only people who shoot down our brothers and sisters. We're masters at being executioners. We have no problem. But that isn't the heart of God. The church gets so involved in politics. There's so many political things going on in churches today. There's so many ministries today who think that they can put other ministries and other churches right and correct them and admonish them, and yet there's no fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. Why, even the Apostle Paul himself feared and trembled if he had to do that. And I say if. Yet we've got such a flippancy today. We've got such a familiarity today. There's no fear of God, which is, of course, the beginning of wisdom. Why do I say this? Because there's such a lack of bowing the knee before Almighty God. I'm talking about a true humility. I'm not talking about a lip service. Anyone can do that. But churches will go as far as saints are prepared to pray and intercede. And that is our responsibility. You see, there is no excuse in the house of God not to pray, because we have the Holy Spirit who has come to help us, lead us, teach us, and guide us. We still want to be entertained. We still want to come to church and sit back and have this word. And yes, it's ministered to me. Yes, it's exposed my problems. Yes, whatever. But the question is, how far are we, each of us, also prepared to take on the responsibility of this assembly, this church, its unity and oneness? And by our praying and interceding, that is a clear sign to the powers of darkness, and above all to God, that we are all of us being and becoming responsible. I believe a man or woman who prays is showing that he or she is maturing and growing up and is responsible, and is prepared to take on the burdens, the pressures, whatever, for the sake of true unity and oneness in the body. They're clear signs. And so we have the Holy Spirit who has come to help us in this, in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, he says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Here again, praying always with prayer, supplications in what? In the understanding, in the flesh? No, in the Spirit. Because it's only the Spirit that can supplicate and pray. It is only the Holy Spirit within us that can cause us to be watchful, that can help us to persevere, that can help us to supplicate for all the saints. You cannot pray for the church and for all the saints unless you have the Holy Spirit who's praying in and through us. Amen? It is true. It will never happen otherwise. Jude 20 says, praying in your faith, your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up. There it is again. Supplication can only come from the Spirit, to supplicate before Almighty God. Let's look at Jude 20 while we're talking about this, because there's always so much confusion and argument about prayer. Do you pray in the Spirit or don't you pray in the Spirit? Here he says here, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There it is. What could be clearer than that? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's called us to do. Hallelujah. You see, prayer is essential for us to stand in these last days, because we're seeing so many who are falling away from the faith. And so we do need to pray and intercede for this. And we find this in Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. And hear what he says here in Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Where is Jesus saying this? He's saying this right in the Garden of Gethsemane, right at the time of his betrayal, where he's interceding and praying. He's come back, he's found what? The disciples in prayer, standing with him, interceding? No. Just like the church today, asleep, gone to sleep. And he's saying, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. If you don't pray, if you don't intercede, you will fall into temptation. And believe me, there are many temptations out in that world. You don't have to go and look for them. The enemy knows exactly our weaknesses, and he knows how to tempt us. And the only way you are going to overcome this is to, as he says here, is to get into prayer. It's prayer that is the key every time to this. Hallelujah. So he says, watch and pray, lest you enter. So prayer makes us watchful. It makes us alert. Now, can you see things coming up? Can you see the trickery of the devil? Well, the Bible says, yes, you can. Because that's what you're watching for. It's talking about temptation. And who works with temptations? The devil. So it says you can see what the devil is up to. Jesus knew what the devil was up to. Why should the devil be hid from you? Huh? Why should he be? Yet most Christians accept the fact Satan's hid from us. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know what he's up to. We don't know what he'll be doing next. I don't know if there's any temptation around the corner or whatever it would be. Well, that's not what it says there. He says there quite clearly, he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So it's meaning that it's going to make you spiritually watchful, seeing, aware of his cunning trickery. We can see, we can be prepared. We can know, we can discern. And God has also, of course, set the gifts in the Spirit of discernment. Discerning of spirits. Testing the spirits. 1 John 4, I believe. So we can see. We can be on our guard. We can know what the enemy is up to. God can open the Christian church's eyes. So this idea that Satan's powerful enough to be able to deceive us and close our eyes is hogwash. He does that if we let him do it. And what blinds us? Pride. Pride is what blinds the church from seeing what the devil is up to. And that is why God calls us to humble ourselves in his presence, because the humble, the meek, the lowly will be a discerning people. Because God's revealing, God's opening our eyes. There's too many believers in the house of God are spiritually blind. And that's why these things happen. But it can prayer, my friends. Prayer is going to cause us to be watchful. Prayer is going to keep us from the temptation, from the evil one. But he says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what we've had to acknowledge. That is what we're acknowledging. That has been our problem in this church. We're willing, but the flesh is weak, Lord. Please help us. Have mercy over us. We've allowed this to go on too long. Well, I believe that if we acknowledge that, God will help us. God will help us. You see? I come back to this point. Many have hid behind the Word of God. Many still have had this mindset, well, I'm receiving the end time message of faith, I receive the deeper life in the Spirit, I go to full gospel assembly, so I can't go wrong. But we can go wrong. Because unless all of this is backed by prayer, we are going wrong. We're making the mistake that so many others do. Because the Word's not doing us anything. It's not being fruitful. It's not producing fruit. What we receive through the Word of God and through the revelation that we're receiving has to be channeled through in prayer, intercession. When we receive the Word each week, God has shown us many times, you've got to take it away and pray about it. Pray it through. As it's just a dead letter. The parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables that Jesus gave. The reason that the seed fell on good soil, on a heart that's prepared and right before God, is because that heart, that person, is praying over that word, that seed that they receive. That's why when we come to the meetings, we should be in prayer, praying in the Spirit, asking the Lord that we receive this word today in my heart, that only you can prepare. That's how we grow. And yet many believers don't see that one, are not really even interested. But the point is, if you don't have a prayer life, you can't pray these things. How can you really prepare yourself for a meeting and for the word, if you don't really have a prayer meeting, prayer life? It's totally contrary, isn't it? So there's very little change that takes place. No, the Lord knew what he was saying there. And so we pray one for another. We pray one for another for our well-being. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we will do. Because we're aware of the needs that are in this body. We're aware of the needs that are in the house of God. Let's turn to something we know very well in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 14 to 18. James 5, verses 14 to 18. James 5, 14 to 18. And here it says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And here it is. I love this next bit. And Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Here we are. Tremendous prayer before God. And we're told there that Elijah was a man like us in nature, weak, ineffectual, fearful, all those things at times we become oppressed by. And yet look what God did there with regard to prayer and intercession. So he says to us, doesn't he? He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, often that's oversighted, that. It says, if you are sick, you, in your step of faith, call for an elder to pray for you. That's the principle there. Many don't get healed because the elders are going, so would you like me to pray for you? Would you like me to anoint you with oil? That's why it doesn't work. You've got to see what the word of God says there. And let him call for the elder of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, there's no healing in oil. The oil is simply to quicken faith, to believe. That is all the oil is. Yet we have made oil a holy oil, a consecrated oil. So that oil is put onto people, it's a holy oil. We love anything that's religious, don't we? Anything that we can get back to the Old Testament. It isn't at all. It is simply a point of contact to quicken faith. That's why sometimes when we pray for someone over the internet, sometimes I ask them to touch that computer, and I'm going to touch my computer because it's to help their faith to release. There's no healing in the computer, that I can certainly assure you. That's all it's for. And the prayer of faith, this is the key, verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, we get an idea from that problems arise in the house of God with regard to sickness, because sickness has come about through rebellion and sin. But God has mercy. And he says, call for the elders and I'll raise them up. Confess that sin that has caused you to be sick. And we have to just accept the fact, this offends us, I know, but sadly, that goes on in the house of God. And nothing more worse than when you take communion and you have aught against someone, or you have got resentment, unforgiveness, whatever, you are reaping judgment on yourself. And this is why some are sickly and even some have died and no longer with us. I know that may hurt, it may offend, but that is what God says in his word. And so he says, pray, intercede, call for the elder, anoint, whatever. If you've committed those sins, confess them. And you'll be delivered, set free. Because God loves us. He's merciful. God has provided healing, deliverance through the atonement, through the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus deals with sin and sickness and casts it away as far as the east is to the west. This is why I'm ever saying to you to walk humbly before God. Because the humble won't get sick. It is the proud that get sick. It is the stubborn that get sick. It is those that resist what God is trying to do in their lives into working that humility. That is a lot of our sickness and oppression that is to be found in the house of God. But brothers and sisters, the good news, the good news. You can change that. You have a free will. You can change it. Because you can respond to this word and come humbly before God. Do it his way, and God's promise, I'll raise you up. I'll raise you up. And I'll tell you something, you won't fall back into that anymore. No way. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then as I read to you about Elijah. Elijah was like us, weak, ineffectual, but he had learned something with God. He learned that the power of God, and to move with God and to experience the power of God, is a prayer life, intercession. Believe me, it is. All the church today wants power, but she's not willing to pray, to intercede, to supplicate for it. And there's the problems. So how then Should we have an attitude toward prayer as I bring this now to a close? Well, let's read Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 1, 8 to 9. Romans chapter 1, 8 and 9. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So the Apostle Paul is a man who is constantly, always in the attitude ready to pray. That's what it means, that praying without ceasing. It means that you are so in tune with praying that you so desire to pray that your life is a consecration of prayer, that at any time, any situation, you are ready to pray and intercede because you have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that whatever we're doing each day, whatever our circumstances, whatever our job, whatever we're seeing, because we have the Holy Spirit, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're able just to turn that immediately into prayer. Wonderful. Sometimes I've been walking in the street and I've seen just a cripple or somebody and I've just experience the heart of God there at that moment, and I've been able to turn that and just say, Father, have mercy over this soul. Reveal yourself to this man. Open his eyes, his ears, his heart. Touch his life. He's going through a hell already in this life. Don't let him go to a further hell. I prayed that many times. Because I'm in the attitude ready to pray whenever, wherever, however. If you want that, then you have to have a heart of compassion. You have to have a heart that's touched by God. Because you can't turn a blind eye to these things. And that's why it's the cross. That's why God has to deal with the self-life. Selfish people are not people of prayer. Never have been and never will be. Because they're too selfish. And whatever praying they're going to do will always be about me, myself, my needs, my wants, and you name it. No, as God delivers us from this self-life, this selfish life, so we find ourselves freed up, released, so that we can be men and women of prayer. You know, that's what God wants of us. And that's the heart and spirit he wants of us to come next Sunday as we meet God for prayer and intercession. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show that we're going to have these. We're not always, every Sunday, always going to have the preaching and teaching of the Word. Now, whether the Lord leads that we have the room open next week for brothers and sisters who want to come in and join us for this prayer and intercession, maybe the Lord's showing that to do so. It doesn't always have to be just the preaching of the Word. It can also be entering in into prayer and intercession as well. And they too have prayer needs, prayer requests. We can also pray for them as well, wherever they are, wherever they live, whether it's the other side of the world. God is in us and through us. And the Holy Spirit is the same in them as he is with us. Amen. Again, Father, we want to thank you today. We want to thank you for speaking directly to us. Father, there are times when you don't mince words. You really at times show us that you mean business. And prayer is business. Prayer is important. We don't mess about with it. Our whole life, our future, our destiny is very dependent on prayer and the church's prayer. So Lord, we ask that you will help us. You will strengthen us. You'll be able to Encourage us, Father, in this as we pray in the Spirit and in the understanding, but that above all we will be sensitive and open to the things that are upon your heart in our prayers and intercessions. It's so easy for us just to give our list before you, but how many are wanting to find out what God is saying with regard to prayer and intercession for each other and for His church, His body? That's what we want to do, Lord. And so we ask and believe that you will grant us this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name.
And Jesus is the